Welcome to Daytime Confidential, the first podcast of its kind, the one-stop source for daytime news, gossip, opinions, and more. Hey, everybody, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Luke. In this week's podcast, we discuss the 70-year anniversary of Guiding Light, the state of As the World Turns, with our resident expert, the ZARF study for All My Children, news, shout-outs, and much, much more. Stay tuned. Well, Lisa, we promised our listeners that we are going to have a special episode coming back, or a couple special episodes coming up, and...
What could be more special than this?
Exactly. Exactly. We are very pleased to have with us this evening Mike, who writes our Inside Oakdale, or our As the World Turns column for TV Fan Online. Welcome, Mike.
Hello.
He is our resident expert on everything and anything As the World Turns. He's almost like the Wikipedia, I mean, except for quicker.
A quicker Wikipedia. Oh, no, we're not kind at all. Well, what are we going to talk about first?
Well, why don't we start with Mike telling us a little bit about his As the World Turns history and how long he's been watching the soap, what he likes about it currently and what he may not, and we'll start with As the World Turns and go from there.
Sounds good.
So, Mike, how long have you been watching As the World Turns? Have you been doing it since the womb, like Lisa with Guiding Light?
Hey.
No, I think I started my soap watching in the late 70s, early 80s. And I hooked on to As the World Turns, I would have to say, early 80s. I remember when Barbara stood up Tom at the altar.
Yeah.
And ran off with James, so
yes.
That's what I remember.
Oh, boy. I have a feeling this is going to be another one of those podcasts everything goes over my head.
Oh, Franny and Betsy, that's some stuff. That's yeah. Good stuff
yeah.
Right there.
That was very, yeah, there's a lot going on. Douglas Marlin was writing in the mid-80s, and he had
Douglas
that whole
Marlin.
Story going on with Kim Stalker. Mm-hmm. And
yes. It was played by John Wesley Shipp, who was the father on Dawson's Creek.
Right, and he was Kelly on Guiding Light, too.
Oh, yeah, Kelly and Morgan. That's right. Sorry, Luke.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those podcasts where I'm going to just have to sit back and listen because, boy. Yeah.
Well, actually, my first soap was General Hospital. And so I remember,
really?
You know, this whole thing, and I know this isn't on the topic, but, you know, with Alan...
Stuart Damon.
Oh,
yep,
man.
Being gone. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I remember when him running up the steps carrying a gun when he was going up to Rick and Monica's love nest that exploded.
Oh,
so that's what I remember, yeah.
You're mentioning that just gives me shivers because even though I never watch it, that him or her bringing the house down on the other is infamous in General Hospital history.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That was Alan and Monica were an excellent team to watch. And that whole dynamic with Leslie and Rick and Laura being in their house when she was just, you know, coming of age, I guess.
Yes.
And watching her kind of grow up and into what she's become. You know, it was a great, great time for soaps in general. I think every soap was starting to hit their peak during that time. I mean, I was watching All My Children back then, and Jenny was on, and Greg, and Cliff and Nina, you know, all those things I remember. It's funny that I can remember all that stuff so clearly, but anyway. So
now,
well, speaking
not
of
when
coming,
it's classic like that. That's amazing. So.
Well, speaking of coming of age and coming to the end of its time, taking us back to the topic of As the World Turns, Carly, Jack, Katie, and Simon, and Mike thrown in here and there, seems to be coming to its end, or at the end of time, shall we say, as we lose the two actors who play Simon and Mike. And we're left with the fallout. What's your thoughts on that these days?
Well, the thing is, it's a little difficult, I think, knowing what's going to happen ahead of time. We've known for a while that Simon and Mike were going to leave. So it's really all a matter of how are they going to be written out. I have a hard time. I'm very torn with spoilers because the element of surprise was such a great thing. With a lot of the back in the day, you really didn't know what was going to happen. There wasn't a preview. There wasn't
magazines. Boy, you were on the wrong podcast.
Oops.
We discuss way too many rumors and spoilers in this podcast. It's our bread and butter.
I know it's part of that's where the battle is for me, because I know that to do this, you kind of have to know what's going to go on. But in any event, I was a little skeptical about pairing Simon and Carly, but I've really, really grown to like them together. It's funny when you take a character like Jack and Carly and you think nothing could not just break them up, but you can't see them with other people.
Well, Jack's I've never liked those two together.
Yeah, well...
blasphemy! Woo!
Yeah.
Well, it just seems like he always takes Carly for granted. And
really?
And
is that he never really likes her for who she really is.
Exactly.
So that's what you mean by taking for granted.
Yes.
Because I think he takes Jack for granted, but Jack doesn't appreciate Carly for who she is.
Well, even now, on Friday, when
he arrested her?
You almost think that the way Carly's looking at him, she's like, come on, Jack, you got to let me off the hook, you know? So no matter
what,
I think Carly
right,
relies on him to steer her in the right direction, even though she doesn't like it.
Well, so what do you think is going to happen after Mike and Simon leave? Because
I don't know. Is Mike gone? He just disappeared. Is he gone now, or is
I hope so.
He told Katie
naughty,
he was
naughty.
Go to the lawyer and get papers drawn up, and then that was the end of him. He was gone.
Well,
darn.
Either way, Simon is still on his way out. And I mean, last we seen him, he was in a clothes hamper being pushed by Henry, which I do have to admit was probably one of the most humorous things I've seen on As the World Turns as of late. But I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit concerned that we're going to be left with a fallout. I don't see a Jack, Carly, Katie triangle developing just because of the fact that we have Austin Peck coming in. And I don't know his name.
Brad Snyder.
And so I would be very interested to know what you think of that arrival.
I don't really know too much about Brad. There were some times where I was not watching.
Brad is a manho, is what I call him. He is promiscuous. He has slept with Carly. He has slept with Rosanna. He slept with a lot of chicks on that show. And he's being portrayed by Austin Peck, who was...
Austin Reed.
Austin, that's right. How could I have forgotten? Austin on Days of Our Lives. Very wooden, very
plastic. Yeah, I've heard good things about him.
Yeah, but
not just from
you
guys, but from other people.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a chance because under another head writer, maybe he'll turn into the Rosanna. You know,
see, and that's
McClane
the thing.
Turned into a different actress on a different soap someday. Right.
Oh, and she so needs to come back to As the World Turns. It isn't even funny. Then we could kick Meg out. Ooh, there's a thought. Ooh, I'm all of a sudden excited.
The Meg thing.
You know, we could fill up the rest of your time about your Meg fetish, your anti-Meg fetish.
Meg fetish.
But we won't do that.
Well,
I see what this is. This is going to be a pick on Luke podcast.
No,
I can see how this is going.
Oh, I don't want Meg and Craig together because their names rhyme. I mean, I know that's such a silly reason.
Well, you know, she would have been Meg Ryan if she married Paul.
Oh, that's true.
I had never even thought of that.
Right. And
well, it would have been sleepless in Seattle or whatever.
Exactly. No, it would have been sleepful because they are boring.
They do look good together, though.
Oh, Craig and Meg?
Just physically. They both have dark hair. They both have a good look together.
The actress,
it's a Dr. Seuss novel. I mean, Craig and Meg? Come on.
The actress who portrays Meg is a very beautiful woman. I don't have anything against her. It's just that I do not like bland characters, and she's about as bland as they come on that show.
I think she's going to kick it up a notch. She seems to be a little bit more spunky than she has been.
Well, then someone needs to go in and get their hair straightened in a makeover, an extreme makeover, and then maybe we'll discuss.
Other thing is that they're grooming her to become the heroine that Jennifer was, because nobody's really filled that role.
And
since
what do
Jennifer
we need
left.
That for? We have
we always have to have.
We have Emily being wasted. We have Carly and we have Katie being destroyed. We have Carly. Oh. I mean, well, Carly's not doing too bad for herself. I mean, this is normal Carly.
Well, she's about to be shipped off to prison.
We have Ryan being Barbara Ryan being wasted.
Wasted.
Absolutely. I mean, there's the single actress who could come on and liven up this show amazingly. I don't see the point in us having to have additional actresses when the veteran ones that, when As the World Turns ratings spiked a few years back and was really getting competitive, it was Carly, Emily, Martha Byrne, Martha Byrne, the actress who plays Lily. Those ladies were all front and center, and then Rosanna came on and carried it. I do not see where we need to have a wimpy character like Meg when we have strong leading actresses who could be doing it. Just doesn't make sense to me.
Go, Mike. I know you have.
I don't know that I could add to. I mean, I don't have that dislike of Meg. I don't think she's a weak character. I mean, I do think she's strong in her convictions.
Well, and
she's
always
been a bat. She's always been had that. Well, back
when I said, let me
years
clarify.
Ago, no, she was bad, and she knew she was bad. Now she tries to fight the bad, I think, and try to do the right thing. Although,
and you can see the conflict.
She, yeah.
Well, to me, okay, I should probably clarify. When I say
I
wimp,
she's very
I mean
weak
bland. To me, when I see her, she reminds me of like a Charity on Passions when that show first started.
What?
It's just a bland character who gets manipulated by everyone, never has a backbone, never's willing to do anything evil.
Charity on Passions. Are we talking about the same character?
No, see, Meg.
The one
Meg
that, like,
has
killed people?
Been...
Well, but I stopped watching before that happened. I'm talking about when it first started.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Meg, actually, you're right about the backbone thing. Paul and Dusty and Craig have all used her against her own better judgment to do something that she did not think was right. And it is sort of that whole thing of, like, when are you going to get out of this and, you know, stand up and kick him in the shins? And that would be the end of it. But
well,
that's
why
I kind of think... Yeah.
Can I interject? I think the fault there, like you said earlier, is in the writing. And I will 100% say that is the writing for Dusty. 100%. Dusty has takes the backbone out of everyone and rips it out.
Oh, it's a good thing Nikki isn't on this podcast.
Well, no, it's not Grayson McCouch's fault.
No.
Right.
Him, he's wonderful. It's the fact that Dusty always has to win. He's turning into the Sonny Corinthos of that show. And
Dusty's problem is
even worse, he's turning into the Ryan Lavery.
Which is the same thing.
True.
Ryan, Sonny, Antonio, Dusty, Ridge Forrester, all of them have to take over and be the one man on the soap that everybody wants, and the woman turns into a spineless jellyfish when they are put against him. And that is what happened to Meg.
Yeah, I think the thing I don't like about Dusty is that he expects all these women to do things for him that are really either illegal or shady. And then if they don't do them, he completely blows them off like he doesn't care about them at all. It only works for him if they do what they want. Right.
Exactly. It's always their fault. That's exactly right. And like when Lucy, you know, dare have a shred of compassion for her own father. Mm-hmm. How could you? You know what, dude? Back off. It's her dad. Yeah, he's done some bad things, but it's still her dad. I mean, I think the writing for Dusty can be such a good character because the actor, is such a good, strong actor, but they won't allow it. Dusty has to be perfect and right and everything. So that's my issue with As the World Turns right now, besides their lack
of
using
Vince. Well, and you had been asked about Katie and what I think should happen to her.
Oh, yeah,
I totally think the best thing that could happen to her, she needs some sort of penance for her fall right now.
Oh, I have a feeling it's going to go a lot further.
Yeah, there are so many people. She was in the Soap Opera Digest article recently where she said that the public, are taking what she does as her, the actress. That's how bad people think of Katie right now.
Oh.
And she's got this response to it. It's like, I'm just doing what's being written for me, you know, because Katie has always pretty much, and she's been a little conniving and a snake, but she has been so relentless with this whole thing right now that the best thing that I can think could happen to her is that she's stuck in her cottage alone with nobody.
Not even Henry.
And exactly.
Oh, I loved it this week when Henry finally told her, I think I finally got a backbone. She goes,
yeah.
You've never had a backbone when it comes to me. It's like, boy, isn't that the truth? It's about
time. Emily, awareness, too. Katie, welcome.
Emily, he went through the same thing with Emily. She completely had him running in circles for her.
We'll talk about the most underrated character on that entire show. I still say that they could build entire storylines around Henry as the lead actor on the show.
Yeah,
you know what I want for Henry.
And now's the time to do it, because Simon is gone and Mike is gone. And, you know, I'm not saying there are no leading men, but, you know, people talk about, you know, okay, no, Meg isn't with Paul anymore. Who could she be with? There
do not put her with Henry.
No, there aren't a lot of choices. You know, I just see recycling, because without Mike and without who else?
Simon.
There really aren't, you know, she's been with Dusty, she's been with Paul, hasn't been with Craig yet. But the thing is, there aren't really a lot of choices when it comes to...
All the more reason to get rid of her.
Your 30 to 40 to 50 type leading men. They're just not there.
Well, and I think Katie and Dusty could be an interesting storyline, which...
Somebody was talking about Dusty with Jessica, because they were on fire in the...
That was me. Yes.
Oh, okay.
They're awesome together. Yes. Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Tamara Tooney is doing a lot more of Law & Order. In fact, she's on the opening credits now, so that makes me think
that
she's...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yay
news.
For her.
You
know?
I love
her. And she's great
her.
On there. Yeah, I do,
yes,
too.
She's great in everything. I've always enjoyed her. I always wanted Henry to go to work for Lucinda and have them... thrown together in a story.
Oh, yeah, because he could do all the dirty, underhanded stuff, you know, that she likes to have someone, lackey to do for her.
Can you imagine those two together?
And she's another underused
character.
Speaking of which, did you hear the rumors?
No.
We want to give a shout-out to Elizabeth Hubbard. Wait, no. Oh, God. I did it again.
Yes, you did. And if Elizabeth Hubbard has a baby, I'm calling the Inquirer. Okay? Liza Huber.
Oh, I can't believe I did that again. Earlier this evening, we were on Instant Messenger talking about this, the shout-outs and things. I said, Elizabeth Hubbard. We need to give a shout-out to Elizabeth Hubbard in the podcast.
And I go, Lisa goes, what?
And I go, for having a baby. The next thing I know, I have these words coming across my thing that says, I am sitting here screaming.
Laughing so hard. Because she's, 65, 70? Call the Inquirer, because if she's having a baby, you know. Passions, Liza Huber, who plays Gwen, and her husband, had their first child, a little boy named Royce, on the 23rd. And Liza Huber's mother is Susan Lucci.
Which is the
best. Is this her first grandchild?
Yes.
Yes, it's her first. And, you know, the baby was born on Susan Lucci's birthday, so they share a birthday.
Oh.
So congratulations, Liza. Congratulations,
that's really cool.
Susan.
Yeah.
So, I think that's wonderful. So, no, Elizabeth Hubbard did not have a baby, everyone. So get off the internet with that wild rumor.
Well, speaking of ageless beauty and being a classic, Guiding Light has recently is celebrating its 70th birthday. Is it this week or next week?
The 25th.
The 25th.
Yes.
So we figured while we had two great Guiding Light fans on the show, we'd talk about it. Now, I'm probably going to have to sit back and not say a thing, which some might enjoy that.
You're a viewer, which I enjoy very much. I love your
I consider him a new viewer to everything. Anyone
you
who comes
kidding?
Into,
no, no.
Into, Days of Our Lives. Not
that's
Days
not
Lives.
Days of Our Lives. I've been watching that since I was like 6.
Okay.
That's pretty
I'm
good.
Thinking your soap experience
in
spans
terms
10
of,
years.
In terms of all the rest of them, it's 10 years. But by many standards these days, 10 years is getting pretty long.
That's true. That's true.
Right-o.
Considering the audience that they're shooting for now is usually between 12 and 19. So, anyways, Guiding Light celebrates its 70th anniversary, its platinum anniversary, on the 25th. And it is the longest running show in broadcast history. It is in the Guinness Book of World Records. Thank you. Yay.
Which is an amazing feat if you think
about
it.
Isn't it 70 years?
I mean, that's like a lifetime for a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't even know 70-year-old people. So anyways, it's joining with the Hands-On Network. That's a nonprofit network of volunteer organizations around the country. And it's going to have a unique partnership with them. And it's going to focus on raising the level of volunteerism in the United States. To kick off this campaign, Guiding Light will shut down production of their studio January 22nd through the 26th and join the volunteer movement and take the entire cast and crew to the Gulf Coast to help rebuild homes devastated by Hurricane Katrina. That's how they're celebrating their anniversary. And they're going to film it, and that show will be shown on CBS on February 14th, Valentine's Day.
If I lived closer to Louisiana, I would so be there. I would say I would go and put in a day of volunteerism just to try and get some pictures for the website and maybe some interviews for the podcast.
Well, I'd be there. Well, you do know that they're going other places, too, throughout the year.
I'm pretty sure not to where I live.
Well, I'll run down that in a minute. So, anyways, there's some certain episodes that they're marking this anniversary with. Like this past Wednesday, which we'll get into in just a minute, they showed a special episode called The Pay It Forward, and it was called Find Your Light, and it talks about how everyone's bestowed with good fortune, and the residents are surprised to learn how each of their acts of kindness were passed on to others, and we'll talk about that episode in a minute. Okay, on Thursday, January 25th, the actual anniversary date, that's the 70th anniversary, the show will delve into the history of Guiding Light, beginning with its first days on radio in 1937, then transition to television in 1952.
You know, that just gives me shivers, like just
isn't that
hearing
awesome?
About it, because when you say that, like first on radio, I immediately think of the promos they've been doing where you see some of them dressed in more classic attire.
Exactly.
It just gives you shivers because you know that history is taking place and there's no show in the world that has been on this long.
During the Great Depression, before World War II. Really, it's really amazing.
It's amazing to think about. People just go, oh, 70 years. 70 years.
Yeah, 70 years in television is a lot longer than 70 years in real life. Because when you think about how many shows get canceled on an average year, to the fact that they've been for 70 years and they still pull in, what, almost 2.5 million viewers? That's a day.
Exactly.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, the 25th, which is the actual anniversary, like I said, will feature some never-before-seen footage from the present, past, and current show. Plus, in a fun and clever turn of events, this is their words, not mine, the show will feature the current cast playing some of the former characters that helped launch what is now known as Guiding Light.
And that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
You know, you have to give credit to Guiding Light. There can be a lot of things said, and I know Mike isn't a particular fan of the Inside the Light episodes, but you have to give Guiding Light credit, because in an industry that for many parts is stagnating, or in the case of ABC, is becoming very corporate, it's a show that it continues to be innovative. I mean, when you think about the fact, and I think you were going to get to this in a moment, so sorry for jumping ahead, but they're doing the uploading of videos to their own website. They've had the blogs. They're doing innovative things to try and keep themselves relevant. And it's just a shame when you see the ratings. Mm-hmm. And here's this show doing all these great things and...
Well, different things, too.
Not
all of them are great, but they're trying different things.
I mean,
They were the first show to do the podcasting.
Yes.
You know, on CBS.com,
they
were the first ones to do that. So.
And they were the first ones to go to iTunes. So
They're in iTunes?
Yeah.
As an
episode? I download them every day. Yeah, every episode, every day.
You pay for the episodes?
No, it's free.
I thought, like, Passions, you had to pay $2 an episode for them.
I don't know about Passions, but I download As the World Turns and Guiding Light for free every day.
The podcast or the actual TV shows?
The actual show.
I did not know that.
Yes. Oh, I'm so. Oh, hey, soap fans, guess what? You can download Guiding Light and As the World Turns for free on iTunes.
So you don't really have to. So you'd be listening to it, right?
Yeah,
no,
I'll
you
watch
can
it.
Watch them because they have video.
Oh, watch. All
no,
right.
no. It's just the listening. It's just no. It's
oh,
just
see,
audio.
That's what
Sorry.
I was meaning. I was meaning the actual. I was going to say, Passions has it where you can actually watch it.
Oh, that's cool. But, okay, well, let me finish this up and then we'll talk about it. All right, as I said, on Wednesday, February 14th, is a special Valentine's Day show shot entirely on the Gulf Coast where viewers will get the chance to see result of the volunteer work done there. Viewers will get to see the cast not as the characters they play, but as themselves. And for, you know, just an aside, as we said, Guiding Light is a Guinness World Record holder for longest running show in broadcast history. Guys, would you like to give a guess on how many overall episodes have been taped?
300 a year? Or 300 and what?
All over. Completely. From the last 70 years.
Well, I'm trying to add it up. 325 times 70, whatever that is.
Well, I know they had 15,000, so it has to be 15,000 and something. I don't know.
Okay, Luke?
Are they up to 16,000?
I have no clue.
No, they couldn't be up to 16 yet.
Okay. Very
maybe
good, Mike.
15.2, 15.3.
On CBS, it's 15,094. Overall, it's 17,554.
Wow.
Because so that must be including
ABC
the radio?
And, well, now, did you not know that? Well, you probably didn't. Guiding Light was on ABC and
yes.
then NBC and now on CBS. Yeah.
But I didn't know if they included the radio program in that or not.
I don't know. It. I don't think so, but yeah. 15,094 for CBS and 17,554 overall. That is amazing.
Well, and if you think about it, isn't the second closest show as the world turns, and didn't it just celebrate its 50th?
Yeah, last year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
50.
So, I mean, when you think about it, there isn't even a show within striking distance of catching them.
And they're both on CBS. I just want you guys to know that. They're both on CBS. So,
alert the presses.
I mean, they're both, CBS knows how to, you know, honor its history when they choose to.
Even if they don't know how to write it. Oh, sorry, I had to say that.
Yeah.
Oh,
agree.
Burn.
Well, throughout the year, they're going to go to other cities and, you know, support volunteerism and, you know, promote it. And so we can all find our light. They're going to Atlanta, Norfolk, Virginia, New York, New York, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Los Angeles, New Orleans.
Pittsburgh.
That's what it
says. That's right down the road.
I was going to say, maybe we'll have someone going there.
Maybe we will.
Well, I live pretty close to Atlanta, and they're going to St. Louis and Nashville, and I live pretty close to Nashville. New York, New York again, Miami, Florida, and Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow.
That's where they're going. So I'm going to
try to go to
Yeah,
if I know about Pittsburgh ahead of time, yeah.
Well, you just found out about it.
There you go.
Count yourself alerted.
Pittsburgh is May 4th and 5th with Pittsburgh Cares. So, yeah. I really commend Guiding Light for doing this, for giving back to the fans, to lesser privileged
people.
Well,
the thing is, I think a lot of people think after a year or whatever, things are bouncing back. But it's clear that after a year and a half, there's so much that needs to be done. So it's not that they're doing something too late.
You mean the Gulf Coast?
Yeah.
Do you mean the Gulf Coast? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I think that it's not too late to still be involved in that because
it's still hideous. Down
it
there.
Is
I
very
have a
much so.
That lives there,
yeah.
And she says you wouldn't understand.
And they're forgotten, you know.
Exactly.
The media has left, and once they have their year anniversary, now they're gone again. So.
Right, and I think that they should be, Guiding Light should be commended for bringing this back to the forefront again. I know a lot of people are going, oh well, that's old, and. I understand what they're saying. Yeah, it is old, but it doesn't mean it's not viable still as a charity and
well,
that they don't need help. So.
And isn't it an interesting in how stark of a contrast it is to another network that when all their stars go on tour, it's always to college campuses?
Oh, well, we'll just leave that alone.
In terms of...
I agree with you. Even though I agree with you 100%. So, yes, exactly. I think it's great. So... And I know Wednesday we all watched that episode, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. I believe Lisa did, but from what I understand, Mike didn't.
Mike?
Yes. I
put him on the spot there.
I liked the concept and I liked some aspects of it, but the whole hour of the – I found it hard to believe that last week when Alan was in jail and Rick went to visit him, he was spitting venom at him like he always does. Mm-hmm. And then when Rick was flashing back about his time with Alan on New Year's Eve, the first thing that comes to Rick's mind Rick's mind is, let him go out for a while and maybe he'll come back. And Alan didn't run out to find Lizzie, which has been his motive for the last year. Now, is this, Alan did something nice and came back to jail. So that whole thing of all these characters all of a sudden were not in character to me. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
And
wasn't
I think
kind
that
of the point,
whole,
though?
Well, it is.
It
but
was
it's,
one of those. It was so, instead of having to watch people walk through paintings, we were able to take a 1 week, a 1 week experience of what it would be like if everybody actually did it.
Well, well, might go on.
But the whole repetitive, you know, I get the concept, and maybe the concept would have fit better if I felt the overall feel of the show was better.
But
I, my whole thing was that it was a gimmick, and I know that it's tied into their Gulf Coast thing, and I don't want to take away from that. But my whole thing is that they do a lot of gimmicky things, and what they really need to do is a good show.
Mike, let me introduce you to my three lovely ladies, All My Children, One Life to Live, and General Hospital. If you want gimmicks, go there. What Guiding Light is doing is by no means gimmicks. I'm just putting it out there.
Well to me, it seems gimmicky.
Well,
it does. That's
well, and maybe, and as a CBS viewer, that's probably understandable because you're not used to what we go through on the ABC network.
That's so true. We just live hell every day. sorry, ABC viewers. I'm going to ride the middle of the line here because as a lifelong watcher of Guiding Light, I totally understand what Mike's saying because the show is nothing compared to what it used to be. But I'm such a sap for, like, giving back and, you know, the whole pay it forward scheme. I really loved it. I applaud the sentiment of encouraging volunteerism and giving back, and I cheer every rare instance where the writers remember that the characters of the show live in a community and that the characters interact with each other. But if that could be their New Year's resolution, to continue having people out, you know, act outside their immediate story arc with each other, I would be way happier.
Well, I think that's a great idea. However, I do think that when Thursday rolls around, it's business as usual.
Exactly.
And I know that they're going to try to do this find your light through the course. It's going to be more than just last Wednesday's episode. How long will it last?
Well, I hear that they're only doing it on Wednesdays. And if that is true, that will irritate me. And While I said I was a sap earlier, and I will continue to be a sap because that's just who I am, I want to see the momentum that's built on Wednesdays continue and not have 3 months of stories told on Wednesday. You know, Ross's funeral and all of that told in one day was ridiculous and insulting.
Yes, it was.
Well,
yeah,
if we can experience 24 days of one day on General Hospital, which we'll be discussing in next week's podcast... One day, a week in 1 day is nothing.
Well, I
think that with, you know, I'll use Ross's death because I thought that was a really lousy way to do that.
Real quick, Mike has written a wonderful article on Guiding Light this week. Go to TV Fan Online and click on the Guiding Light on the Lighthouse. Mike has written a great column this week about that. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that my whole feeling with that is if you took Ross's death and put it into not even a week, it doesn't have to be a week, a couple of days, but the after effects, there was no after effects for anybody.
Nope.
It was like they picked up on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how much time passed in that episode, but it was everything went back to normal as if he was in Washington.
And then it was
dead.
Picked up months later when all of a sudden the blogger appeared.
Yeah,
but we won't get into that. That's an entirely different topic.
It was picked up a little later. I'm going to be a little fair here. It was picked up a couple weeks later when they found out that Rick had, you know, had something, you know, messed with the plane and, you know, caused Ross's death. But then it was dropped again, just like Mike said.
Right.
And Ross is an integral core character. Well, he was. And he deserved more. We deserved more. We, the viewers, deserve more than what we got.
Well, speaking,
and for them to drop it and just keep going is insult.
And this is a show. I mean, you talk about history.
Mm-hmm.
The bones are there. All you have to do is pick them up and put them together.
Well, that's
and
what they
somehow,
should be mining.
Exactly. When I watch this show, there's just something's missing, and I just can't figure out what it is.
It's the bets. It's the use.
I guess that's part of it, but it's the way they tell the stories. They just there's no build up, no suspense. Everything happens in the course of
that's not fair.
A week or so.
Reva's cancer storyline and the culmination in late October, early November was excellent.
But there's no fallout. I mean, Josh should be hating what she did. Cassie should be hating what she did.
Well, considering they were blinking each other, I mean, it's not like
they... Well, that's another issue. I mean,
but, okay,
even if they weren't together, they should be hating her for what she did. But there's nothing. And the whole thing with Olivia and Ava and Jeffrey, that all came about very quickly. Boom, boom, boom.
We don't care about them. Yeah, exactly.
I do like Olivia, though.
I do too.
That's all I'm
but
saying.
I don't care about Jeffrey and I don't care about Ava. So what's the big deal?
Mm-mm.
I mean, Olivia carries that storyline, but that's not enough. You need to care about all of them. And I agree with that one.
And Alan's been wasted. I could go on and on.
Well,
and
you guys have been interrupting me. I've been trying to segue here into the next parts of the Guiding
so
Light
sorry.
Topics. I've had a couple good ones, and you're
so
not letting
well
me.
You were doing so well at the segue, and we just blew it out of the water.
We've ruined
for you.
It for
well,
because
I was
so
there was one a little bit ago when we were talking about something, and I was going to say, well, speaking of wishing people many more or wishing for more, we want to give a shout out to Ricky Paul Golden, who celebrated his birthday this past week, and wishing him many more.
Happy birthday!
So, and on in addition to that, speaking of dropping things, a big rumor was dropped. On a General Hospital website.
Don't go there. Don't even go there.
Oh, come on. Got to do it. It's too juicy to not mention.
Well, see, now I'm going to have to mute my button because I'm going to be cursing, and I don't want my relatives to hear it.
Well,
so go ahead. Go
mute,
ahead.
Mute
I'll
the
mute.
Button.
I know people are rejoicing that I'm muting. Go. So
our,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, your relatives don't know you swear?
Oh, not like this.
Well, it's go a ahead. Juicy rumor, and who knows if it's true or not, but... Our dear friend over at Wubs, the Wub Queen and Spoiler Queen of General Hospital herself, went and dropped a juicy little tidbit that was saying that Gina, who plays Dinah on Guiding
Gina
Light...
Gina Tognoni.
Yes, I can never remember her last name.
Tognoni.
Okay. She may be going to... And this is really convoluted, folks, so stay with me. She may be coming to All My Children as Haley... And then Haley and Adam Chandler, who is her father, would be crossing over onto General Hospital. And I know that Mike and Lisa are not particularly fond of this idea, and I'm not particularly fond of it, but for completely different reasons. I mean, I don't mind her coming to All My Children, but I don't want her going to General Hospital. There's no point when they don't already... There's no point when for Adam or Haley to go to General Hospital when... General Hospital doesn't even use the characters it has. And
Mike,
you're too...
would you like to take it?
And I was going to say, All My Children doesn't either. And is Haley a character that needs to be coming back?
Haley would be a great character to return because she could kick some ass.
Okay. I said it on the forum, and I'm going to say it here. She's not allowed to leave Springfield. That's it.
Off Gina, people. You take your hands off Gina.
She's
that
my
is
favorite.
My girl.
She's
she
my
is
favorite.
My favorite by, mm-hmm. by far.
And I don't think Guiding Light could survive it.
Well,
because
you know,
they're losing Pelfrey. They would, if they lost her, they lost the actress who plays Tammy, who
Stephanie Gesher.
I'm not a fan of the character, but that still doesn't mean the actress isn't talented. But if they lose all of them, and they lost Crystal Hunt last year, which fortunately they found an amazing recast for her, I mean...
Well, she made me like Lizzie. I did not like Lizzie before. I did not like her at all. But now I like her. Now, it could be the way she's written, but this...
I think Marcy
Riley's the recast, yeah, I do like her.
Well, if they touch Gina... And I write for All My Children, people. Mm. I have to watch it every day. I would still be upset because Gina is a perfect Dinah. She's perfect.
And, you know, to like somebody who is so hateful, I mean, she committed murder. But for her to come in and make you like her, that's a big thing.
She can act.
Okay, I have a question.
We see it. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Is she a recast as Dinah?
Yes.
Yes.
Remember, because, she was my number three recast.
Well, the reason reason I was wondering that is because I know she was a recast as Kelly, wasn't she, on One Life to Live?
No, she was the original Kelly.
She was the original. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I was trying to remember how that worked.
And she wasn't very good on that soap. Well, she was fine, but the way they write Kelly's just a weird character anyways. And then here she comes on Guiding Light, and I was fully expecting to hate her. And I fell madly in love with her. I just adore her. And Gina, if you're listening, call me. We'll do lunch.
And she's
while she's in Alabama, right?
And she's gorgeous too, you know.
Oh, isn't she?
She's beautiful.
She's just beautiful in those mm-hmm. eyes.
She's probably
so
one of the best looking women I've seen on daytime.
Oh yeah,
easily.
Easily, mm-hmm. exactly. So,
well, speaking
if you
of
touch her, I'm gonna hurt somebody.
Luke was gonna segue, and you.
I
cut
know,
him off.
And I messed it up again. Go ahead.
Well, speaking of women in daytime, or. And I'm not exactly how well this. I'm not sure exactly how well this segue is going to follow through.
Oh, you
can
seg that anytime.
Speaking of women in daytime, there were some very interesting results that came back on a certain character that's making a transformation on All My Children. And far be it from us to make it through an episode without discussing All My Children.
It's so true.
But a very interesting study. The results, well, and I don't think they were the full results because I answered a whole lot more questions in that survey than what the responses were, but the results came in on the University of Southern California, which conducted an online survey in terms of the audience reaction to the Zarf storyline. And they don't tell us all the results, but some very interesting things came back. And it goes to show, Mike mentioned earlier in the podcast that 10 years did not qualify as being a longtime viewer. But considering that's approximately how long I've been watching All My Children, here is some interesting stuff in terms of the results. It said 70% of the respondents have been watching the show for 10 years or more. Mm-hmm. 67% of those respondents watch All My Children every day. Though responses definitely ranged across the board, there was a tendency to dislike Zarf and find the character unbelievable. Similarly, there was a tendency to like Bianca and find her believable. A majority of the respondents believe that the writers do not care about the social issue value of the Zarf storyline, just the shock value. At the time of the survey, the majority of respondents believed that it was too early to judge the storyline. Respondents were split across the board about their interest in watching the storyline. What I find so interesting about all this is that as a viewer, I've been watching the show for approximately 10 years. I watch it on a daily basis, and I've, as a longtime viewer, I've thought that this is a stunt, and I've never believed that they actually have the best interest in the storyline or the character, even though they are quoted and you can watch them saying it on their podcast. But to me, it's like, thank you. This is a validation of everything that I was thinking and that what I thought, well, what my friends think. But sometimes you never know, because sometimes we live in our own little bubbles of opinions. We associate with other people who think the same way, but we don't get the other opinion. So to know that 67 or that this large of a group does not like this is very affirming. I don't know.
What do you think, Mike?
Okay, I think that I'll give you my first impression when I was channel flipping last week.
Uh-huh.
When I saw this character, it seemed to me that it was not 100% into. I think when you bring a character on like this that is struggling with identity, you have to learn to like the person or dislike them based on the character. And I'll use Luke on As the World Turns. There was a lot of people that were opposed to his storyline based on their own personal views.
And his storyline was coming out.
About him coming out, right, as a teenager, especially being a young high schooler.
Yeah.
But the way the story was written, you know, when he finally came to terms with it and came out to his mother rejected him, basically, which ticked off a lot of people. on message boards that felt that Lily, as a mother, was failing her child, and that as a mother, they would never do that to their kid, even though they don't necessarily agree with the storyline. But over time, as Luke was, you know, manipulated by his father, Damien, rejected by his mother, people grew to realize that Luke was still Luke. And now that he's been backshelved, the same people that were against him seem to be saying, wait, what happened to Luke? You know, he should have a boyfriend. He should be good doing this. He should be doing that. So it's that whole thing where, you know, Luke, we've always liked Luke. He grew up on the show. And now we still like Luke because he's still the same kid. So I think that this part of the story might be missing. You didn't get a chance to know this character. This is my impression. And you don't get a chance to like him and feel the struggle that he's going through as a pre-transgender?
Pre-op,
or
yes.
Is he pre-op? Okay.
Well, and there's a question as to whether or not that will actually, there will actually be a surgery, because in the, if anybody has iTunes, as much as we bash All My Children, they do have a very fun and entertaining video podcast that you guys can listen to. You just download it, and there was two of them recently. One of them was on the whole character of Zarf, and they were talking about how some transgender characters have surgeries and some of them don't, and blah, 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 blah. The one that was actually the most entertaining was that when the actress who plays Maggie was singing the 12 Days of Christmas, which was absolutely hilarious, but that's off the topic. But it was one of those things where they were commenting, and it's like, we're wanting to do a socially relevant story, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, if you wanted to be socially relevant, if you wanted to make this something that we as viewers could invest in, you would not be doing this with a character that we have absolutely no attachment to.
Exactly.
You could have brought back a character. You could have brought back Petey. I mean, you could have had Petey do it. How great would it have been to have Palmer watch his son go through this? I mean,
exactly.
Or
with Opal.
Or what about, say, for instance, having Jamie go through it? Now, and I realize that the behind-the-scenes dynamics of that, considering Zarf apparently was in love with Babe and all the other stuff, and the actor who portrays Jamie is married to Babe, it might get a little bit weird there, but it's not, I mean, it wouldn't be any more weird than Jamie and Babe who were already together once. I mean, I think that All My Children completely bombed on this character in terms of viewer interest, attachment, and investment.
Well, the reason why Bianca's coming out story years ago worked is because we knew her, we loved her, we identified with her. We don't know Zarf. We do not love Zarf. Some people like him because he's kind of humorous or whatever. But we don't love him, and we don't identify with him because we don't know him. He came on too strong. He has approached every scene by being over the top and false and and sometimes
you can't sustain it either. You can't sustain that over the top.
And now it's being presented that he was putting on an act by being this rock star Zarf guy, that it wasn't the real him, just like his body doesn't represent his real self. But somebody that comes off extremely dislikable from the start anyways, how are we supposed to care? Big deal. I don't care if you're not comfortable in your own body. I mean, this could have been a riveting storyline if it had been, like you said, Jamie or Petey or somebody that we knew, loved, and felt a connection to. But we don't. You know, and here's the thing. I don't like Zarf at all, but I like Zoe.
I've been hearing that, which I'm not a particular fan of the whole thing, just because of the fact that I think it's a waste of time in terms of when we have other characters being wasted.
Right.
But a lot of people, I've heard other people comment that they hate Zarf, but they like Zoe.
Because he's poignant and touching as Zoe. I don't know if it's because he dials it back or what, but he's completely sympathetic as Zoe, but it's still not enough.
Well, either that or else we're just susceptible to the powers that be.
Oh, that's true. Well, but I was saying, it's not enough to make me care that he's going through this, that Bianca rejected him, because Bianca had every reason to reject him. I am so sick of seeing, well, Bianca was mean to him. Bianca doesn't understand. She's not very sympathetic. Well, what was she supposed to do? You know, he's up in her face going, you're my true love. We're soulmates. Blah, blah, blah. This woman who has been raped, you know, he gets in her personal space. You know, you're my soulmate. We're forever and ever. Of course she's going to be a little standoffish. Of course she's not going to believe him. Of course she's going to have some reservations. I mean, give her a second to digest this whole thing. You know, suddenly this man dresses up like a woman and she's supposed to be totally understanding. No, and as the audience, we shouldn't accept it either. If we had gotten, you know, to know him and had more time to develop his character and get us to care about him, that would be different, just like you both said.
Well, I also think that tying a serial killer story to that, I don't know if they're tied together.
Oh,
but just
well,
the impli- just
one
the
life
implication
to live did it. One
right,
life to
just
live
the
did
implication
blatantly.
Right, that you're playing up on the stereotype of somebody being a freak. And then all these serial murders are going on. It mentally leads the audience to think that there's something wrong with this person. He must be the killer.
Right.
And even though they're not connected, because
right.
I don't think he'll turn out to be the person that.
No,
is
he
doing
won't
it.
Be the killer. He can't be, because can you imagine?
And
the
you're
outrage?
Right. One Life to Live did do that. You know, they had this, and would have been a great story to have a married guy come out and sneak
right.
around behind his wife.
Right.
But then they tied him to being a murderer.
Oh, to
which,
hide it.
You know, and it just made it, you know.
Well, here's the thing that bothered me this week, and my column that comes out this week pretty much states all of this, what I'm about to say again. The ultimate freak of the show is getting in Zarf's face about these murders. The guy who committed how many murders, Luke?
Jonathan. Oh,
yeah.
I know. Ask me how pissed I am that all of a sudden we've got
he
crazy
had
Jonathan
no
again.
Right. No right getting up in anybody's face talking about murdering people. This is the guy that murdered at least three people that I know of.
Well, and not only that, another victim of this storyline is going to be Maggie, which you just know is not going to be a long run, and I would a long extended run when she returns, and I would love to have Maggie back. There is a character who was related to a family that, for most all intents and purposes, no longer exists
yep.
on the show, but it was a character that at least was connected. She was related to Greenlee through marriage, and she was related to David and Leo and Vanessa through blood. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're bringing back a character who we have attachments to. I would have been, instead of them trying to play for cheap thrill, well, I wouldn't call them thrills, but for a cheap ratings ploy in bringing on Zarf, I would have much rather had them bring Maggie back and have us do a really good lesbian storyline, which they haven't done. They tried it and they botched it because they were too afraid. I don't understand how the same show that was too afraid to actually explore a real life committed relationship between either Lena or Maggie and Bianca can now do this and say, oh, we want to set the pace. We want it's progressive. It's all this. Well, let's face it, folks. You're about as progressive as a car going in reverse. I mean, you can't go forward unless you've dealt with the other stuff that, I mean, put the thing into gear, and they have never put Bianca into gear as a character by giving her a actual relationship prior to this point.
Well, that's a really good point you just made, because they botched Bianca's relationship so bad. That's why we don't have confidence in the storyline. That's why, you know, all these respondents to the survey don't have confidence that they can write this storyline correctly. They've botched Bianca. They've botched every progressive storyline they've tried to, you know, do from the start. For years now, they've botched it completely. So why should we believe this is going to be done correctly? They've given us no basis.
I have to believe that when the poll shows that people feel that they think it's more of a shock value, if they had brought this character on without saying their intention, it would have been 100 times better to just let him come on and develop. Instead, they threw it out there in the press, this is Zarf, and he's going to be our transgender character.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, you know that now you're a viewer, you know that going in, and you have all your prejudices before you decide whether you like this person or not.
Excellent
point. And to add insult to injury, then they have Josh this past week making comments about how things. This is a character that is a walking abortion that they rewrote history for, all of a sudden saying, you know, it makes sense now, his behavior. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I hearing this from Josh?
Because he's an almighty Cain Martin.
But I once again say I would have absolutely no problem with the character of Josh, and I would thoroughly endorse him staying on the show if he was not a Cain. If he was just a Martin, I would have no problem with it. But the rewriting of such a pivotal thing and then have him trying to legitimize this storyline is just wrong.
Well, I just think it's a complete insult to women who have gone through an abortion or whatever to turn around and undo it, I think, is a complete slap in the face. To me, that's how I look at it. It must be insulting to women who, I of course, I would never know what they go through. That whole decision, that's a whole decision process and the aftermath of it. You know, like Young and the Restless did it with Ashley. Of course, they did it, you know, over the top by making her insane with her guilt.
They did.
But the thing is, she worked through that. She had the guilt, and you knew why she was the way she was. And I just think that maybe people could identify with that somewhat, that you always wonder what could have been or what did you do, or it sounded so good before you went in there, but afterwards you can't undo it. And then to turn around and undo it after 30 years, I mean, it's just ludicrous.
I wish Agnes Nixon would sue them. That's just my hope. And
well, and I just thought of something, and I had never really thought of it this way before.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it would not happen to a man, because they would never do this to a male character. Because, let's see, now that Ryan is sperminating, quoting Lisa here, everything on the planet, they're not – it's – I mean, they wouldn't do it in reverse. I mean, they unkilled an abortion. It's not like they're going to take and kill off Emma just because of the fact that all of a sudden she's not Ryan's. I mean, it makes no sense.
No. None of that show makes sense lately. Let's just say it. I'm sorry. I'm a little harsh on All My Children.
Well, on a brighter note with All My Children, though, we want to give a shout-out to Eden Regal, who also celebrated on January 1st her birthday. We actually have a bunch of birthdays this week. Do you have those for us, Lisa?
Oh, yeah. And this is just this week. So, Eden, happy birthday January 1st. Renee Elise Goldsberry, who plays Evangeline, celebrated a birthday on January 2nd. Frank DeCopolis, who plays Frank on Guiding Light, had one on January 3rd. Rick Hurst, wonderful Rick Hurst, who plays Rick on General Hospital, who played Alan Michael on Guiding Light, who played, oh gosh.
He was Whip on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yep, yeah. Whip on Bold and the Beautiful. He was Scotty Baldwin on Days of Our Lives. He had a birthday on January 4th. Ricky Paul Golden, like you said, Gus on Guiding Light, January 5th. And Yovana Koplix, who plays Mel on Guiding Light, has a birthday on January 8th.
Happy birthday to you all.
Can
I do a shout-out?
Okay.
Yeah. I want to do a shout-out because I read in the Soap Opera Digest that Julia Barr didn't even know her last tape date. That she just taped and walked, and that was the end of it. So I give a shout out to her for all the years of service she put in, even though she got treated like crap.
Oh, that's a little hot topic here.
Yeah,
I know it is. I don't want to get into. I know that we're probably running out of time, so I don't want to make a big deal. But I just.
Well, I do.
I just want to say, yes, you know, I give her a shout out for, and I wish, I hope she shows up someplace else, and they use her, and. For all that she deserves.
Oh, I just had an idea.
Sierra recast on As the World Turns.
Well, that was good, but I also thought of another thing which would be very interesting. Lisa would hate it because it's on YNR. She would make the perfect daughter of Gloria.
Oh, stop it. No, like Gloria needs anyone else. Gee whiz. Don't even ruin it. I'd rather have be Jill's twin or whatever.
That's, oh, my theory of Gwen being Jill's twin.
Gwen?
Or not Gwen.
Esther?
No.
Who?
Oh, all of a sudden, Gloria. Gwen, Gloria, whatever.
Gwen, Gloria.
all of a sudden, word. I'm getting my soaps mixed up here.
All right, if I was Esther and I found out I was Jill's twin, I'd be really ticked. I'd be cleaning the house for the last 35 years. That's all I'm saying.
Make Jill wear those outfits.
Well, speaking of Young and the Restless, I don't know how many of you listeners actually visit the CBS Daytime website and check out the things there in terms of – they have a lot of great stuff for fans. You can do video clips. They have behind-the-scenes stuff. They have the recaps.
They really do.
I mean, it's a pretty good featured site. But one of the great things about CBS Daytime is they have a weekly ongoing viewer poll, which is sort of a panel poll. And this week it was on Young and the Restless. Unfortunately, I missed it last week, which it was As the World Turns heavy, apparently. I missed that one. It's something that I never remember to do it on a weekly basis. I just do it occasionally. But this week it was all about Young and the Restless, so I thought that it might be sort of fun for us to go through it and compare our notes as to the questions and answers that we had this past week. So Lisa and I went through the CBS viewer poll for Young and the Restless, and why don't we just trade off and on? I'll read the first one, and we'll just go back and forth reading the question, and then we can do the answers. How's that sound?
All right. As long as it's not about Gloria, I'll be fine.
The first question was, what was the best part about the ice storm? Now, there was a variety of options, but my response to that was Colleen and the professor sleeping together. Lisa, what was yours?
Ditto.
Ditto?
I just love them together.
Aren't they great? Totally
Bill and Colleen. Do they have, like, a couple name that's not stupid? Do you know?
I don't think there is a couple name that's not stupid.
Oh, Scrubs on General Hospital.
No, I don't like couple names, so.
Yeah, but Scrubs is really good, though.
That's really cute. That's actually clever. But yeah, the rest of them suck. So, I was just wondering, but go ahead.
Well,
Soily was a good one, though.
Whatever.
Well, and Barf, Barf isn't bad either.
Yeah, I just think Colleen and the professor are hot. So.
Well, and that leads to the second question, which was, what was your favorite couple of 2006? And I struggled with this a little bit just because of the fact that I like the character of Kevin and I like the character of Jana, and I would have liked to have seen more of them. But I still had to vote for Colleen and Professor Corbell.
Aw. Well, I voted for friends. I voted for Drew and Sharon, the roommates. I think they're just... they're hilarious together. I really like their friendship. That's the best couple.
See, if they would have had Drew and Phyllis, I would have voted for that.
Well, I would have liked that too, but I like their friendship. They really honestly love each other, and it's so rare in soaps, and I know you guys will agree, that we don't see true friendships on soaps that much anymore. And that's a big gaping hole. And so when Drew and Sharon are together and you can see the honest love there, I really enjoy it. So.
Yeah, I think with friendships, it's used for, you know, I think it's great that... Lily and Carly were friends, but then they just dropped it.
Exactly.
Well, they do carry it through occasionally.
They do sometimes, but Margot and Jessica were great friends.
Exactly. And
well,
I
sort of
that.
Happens
they're
when
the
you
same,
have
they're
an
in the same
with...
police station. They don't even talk to each other.
Exactly. And I miss it. And so when Drew and Sharon started that up this year, I just loved it. So.
The third question was, who is your favorite 2006 newcomer? I actually chose Jana.
Did you really?
Yep.
You just like her bangs. You like a multicolored bang.
No, as much as I like the character, the My Little Pony bangs have got to go.
I chose none of the above. Zapato. I like the dog. Victor's
dog. There a lot to pick from?
Some of these had some pretty long lists.
Well, I like the dog. I like the Zapato, the Victor's dog. That's my favorite new character.
Question number four was, which male character would you like to see more of? I put William Bardwell just because of the fact that I enjoy him giving Michael a hard time. I enjoy the Jill Bardwell Gwen triangle, and that seems like a character that could easily flushed out and had a lot more done with. So I put him. Who'd you put with Lisa?
I put Professor the Champagnes, not Corbell. I really like him, and I want him shirtless as often.
I was gonna say, are these shirt on or shirt off?
Oh, shirtless often as possible, my friend.
Oh man. Speaking of which, I was on Instant Messenger with Nikki the other day.
Oh yeah,
she about died and went to heaven because of JT this past week.
Oh well, Nikki, I love you and I think you're just the greatest. But
and then finally, it says, which female character would you like to see more of? And once again, I chose Jana. Lisa, who did you choose?
I'd like to see Drew's backbone. So that's just me.
Well, we are about wrapping it up. We would like to tell people about General Hospital's Tyler Christopher, I should say. He's going to be appearing in this theater production of Bent, which will be on January 19th through March 4th, though he will not be appearing on the 28th and the 3rd.
Guess somebody needs a break.
That's a pretty long run if you think about it, though.
Probably taping, probably General Hospital commitment, so can't blame him for that. So, yeah, he's playing Max, and that's an openly gay character in, the pre-World War II? Is
1930s
right?
Berlin.
Yeah, pre-World War II. And I think that's just I bet it's a fabulous role. I don't know much about it, but I think he'll do great. I think Tyler Christopher's very talented.
Well, speaking of talented and other roles, before we go, we want to wrap up here, bringing it all back to All My Children and Brooke English, the actress who played her daughter, Laura English, who is Laura Allen. She was in there for a while fighting with Greenlee back in the day. She has, since leaving All My Children, she's appeared in The 4400, and now she's landed herself on the TV show, the new FX TV show Dirt, which if you guys haven't checked out, this is my little two-second synopsis. Mm-hmm. FX is known for some really great shows like Nip Tuck, The Shield, Rescue Me. It's also had some bombs. Dirt is neither a runaway nor a bomb, but it's definitely something worth tuning in. The premise of the story is Laura Allen's character is a aspiring young actress, sort of like in the mold of Kate Bosworth, and her boyfriend is an indie actor who's basically hard on his luck, and she gets, it's about her, some of, well, it's not entirely focused around her, but some of the, her storyline is that she's trying to make it big in Hollywood, and she's just gotten some things, and her boyfriend is being blackmailed by the tabloid thing, and so it's a very interesting dynamic. It's something that if you enjoy FX shows, as I do, then you'll definitely want to tune in for that. Before we go, though, finally, Lisa, we have a performer and a quote of the week. My quote of the week was actually from Guiding Light because, ironically, I chose it from Tammy, who I normally wouldn't choose a quote from, but I couldn't help but laugh this past week when she said, "What did she do? Take notes?" When in referring to Lizzie. The character of Lizzie is faking postpartum depression, and Tammy discovered a old video from like the 1980s, a made-for-TV movie about postpartum depression.
A real made-for-TV movie. That's what was so awesome.
I know
that.
It was great. And so Tammy finds a thing, puts it in the TV thing, and then she flashes back to Lizzie saying these words, and they're word for word. She goes, "What'd she do? Take notes?" It was a great line, even if it was from a character that I don't particularly
Tammy's
enjoy.
Tammy's been on this week. I really have enjoyed Tammy this week. So, anyways, my performer of the week is, ironically, from Passions. I know, people.
That show, that show is much better than it used to be.
Oh, it's improved by leaps and bounds. Well, Emily Harper, who plays Fancy Crane, has been brutally attacked, and now she's dealing with a fallout. I've liked her for a while now, especially in her romantic scenes with Galen Gehring, who plays Louise. Couldn't remember his name. Now seeing her deal with this aftermath of the rape, and now she's like going through this mental torture by her attacker, she has depth, and she has the dramatic talent to go with her comedic flair. She has been amazing this past couple weeks, so she is my performer of the week. Go, Emily.
Well, and as always, fans, you can send us your emails at dc@tvfanonline.com. We would like to thank Mike for being with us on this podcast. It has been tons and tons of fun.
Yeah, awesome. I had a blast. It was a good time.
Are you drunk yet? Drinking your martinis or anything?
Oh, my gosh.
He's drunk from the enjoyment of discussing soaps with us.
I'm going to put a plug in for myself.
Okay.
Please do.
I'm on MySpace at MySpace/InsideOakdale. So please stop by. Whatever holiday or something that comes along, I switch up the page, and this month between Christmas and Valentine's Day, where I'm featuring my favorite character is Barbara Ryan, and I love Colleen Sankpinter. I absolutely love her. I've had a crush on her since the first time I saw her.
Watching.
She's not trying to date yourself there, is that
nope,
it?
Nope.
Oh, I see.
I mean, that is one woman that has aged very well. She's gorgeous. So
she's gorgeous.
I have my Barbara tribute page on there. So
stop by and say hello.
You know, nothing against the current actor who plays Craig, but Mark Pinter would have made a great Craig.
Yeah, actually he would have, because he can do good and bad.
Could you imagine?
He was excellent as Greenlee Smythe's father. And he was excellent. Yes, he was excellent on Another World. The thought of him being Craig is almost as much fun
and,
as thinking
and he was
of
on
Hunt
as
Block
the
coming
World
back.
Turns too.
Yeah, he's already been on As the World Turns. Yeah. But hey, it's a really good idea. I mean, Chris Kosacek's Roman on Days of Lost.
Oh yeah, you
Why
could
not?
Bring him back. That's not. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been a long enough time.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure has. So.
Yeah. Well, yes, please, people, go to MySpace and visit Inside Oakdale. It's a great MySpace page. And while you're at MySpace, check out, Luke, take it.
MySpace.com/TVFanOnline, where you can sign up. We've got a great bunch of friends on there. We want to see you there. And until next week, why do I always say next week?
Because it's fun to say.
Until our next episode, this has been Luke, Lisa, and Mike at Daytime Confidential. Have a good one, folks, and so long.
Bye.
Bye.